Welcome to Love Rules, the radio ministry of Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. My mom, Liz Walker, was Boston's first African-American television news anchor, but her most important job is what she does right now at RPC, preaching the good news about God's love. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. How does that work? Join my mom now as she offers us Love Rules from Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Love Rules. Today's message, to be good again. And our text is from Titus, the second chapter, the 11th through the 14th verses. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. This letter is written by the Apostle Paul to churches on the Mediterranean island of Crete. Titus is a young Greek minister who has been sent to organize and oversee those churches. So Paul writes the letter in order to kind of list the appropriate behavior for leadership and for the members. Now, the letter to Titus has a list of appropriate behavior, but it offers details of the good news and the good life that is available to God's people. The good news, of course, starts with this grace. We learn through this text that this grace is not some static state of God's nature. It's not simply the act of forgiveness. This grace embodies, teaches, gives, directs. God's grace is Jesus Christ. I have been struggling over many years in trying to come up with a good enough definition of grace that speaks about my life, because my life is a result of God's grace. And the more I think about it, the bigger this notion of God's unmerited favor becomes. The best I could come up with is that God pursues you in his grace. God chases after you, stalks you. This grace of God can actually sneak up on you when you least expect it. You see, you don't deserve it. You know you don't deserve it. And sometimes you don't even recognize it. Author Max Lucado, in his book on the subject, describes grace as having a drenching wildness about it, a white water riptide, turn you upside downness about it. It comes after you and it changes you. It moves you from insecure to secure in God. That is what Jesus does. Grace is Jesus and Jesus is grace. And this text confirms it, because the text says we wait for the blessed hope, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own. This is the message. This is the mystery. We belong to Jesus. Christ is in us. Jesus Christ, who purifies for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. There is nothing we do to be saved. God initiates this event out of God's great mercy and love. That's what salvation is all about. Long before we were aware of it, God has been preparing our lives to come to faith in Jesus. This is what I believe. I know a lot of people say, oh no, that's saying that there are some elected and some are not. But it just seems right to me that God knew us before we knew God. John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. We are touched by the Holy Spirit. We give our life to Christ. We now belong to Jesus, and we will never lose this salvation. John 10:28, I give them eternal life. They will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. But understand this, and many people do not. When we say that initial prayer of salvation, confessing our sins, confessing Jesus as our Lord, we ask Jesus to help us do his will. And Jesus will do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. But there is still some necessary action on our part, which, as the text says, we should be eager to do. We must turn to Jesus in order to learn to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives right now. We must consciously turn, move, lean toward Jesus. This is the Christian life, and this is something you do for the long haul. This is the action that we have to do. Jesus does it all. Christ does it all. But we have to keep ourselves turned toward leaning into Christ. It's not just a one-time thing. It takes a lifetime. That is what spiritual growth is about. We can't forget that there's always this notion of choice. We can choose to turn toward the world, or we can choose to turn toward Jesus. One of the books I like to talk about is that one of the best books I've ever read. It's called Kite Runner. And if you haven't read it, you should. I've spoken about it here before. Khaled Hosseini is the author, published a long time ago. But it's about life and struggle in Afghanistan. It gets beyond what you hear about Afghanistan on the news and goes deep. It is a story of a young man whose childhood betrayal of a friend leads to tragedy and haunts his life. Now, I don't want to give too much away about the plot, but this young man grows into adulthood and one day receives a call from an old friend who knows what he did. And the friend tells this young man, whose name is Amir, there is a way to be good again. What a powerful proclamation. There is a way to be good again. This is the promise of redemption. It's the theme of this book, and it moves the plot along and really seizes your heart. But this is what God calls us to know. There is a way to be good again. I am so thankful you've joined us today. Remember, Love Rules is totally listener-supported. Won't you make a donation right now to keep this program on the air? Log on to RoxburyPresbyterianChurch.org and click on Giving. That's RoxburyPresbyterianChurch.org. Click on Giving. Thank you. God bless you. We are talking about the Christian journey of being good again. What does that mean? It means we are created in the image of God, and following Jesus is getting back to where we started. It means that we give God our best. It means that we have potential in us to be what God has called us to be. You know, we are so distracted and hurried and worried and so self-consumed that sometimes giving God our best is the last thing we want to do. But there is a way to be good again. It's a statement that when we allow ourselves to meditate on it, it taps into that deep yearning that we all have. We want to be better than we are. We want to do more than we're doing. We want to praise God and worship God and be of God in our lives. For some of us, this yearning is deeper than others. Some of us are still mourning lost opportunities, betrayals, and failed love. And maybe we're stuck there and don't feel we can get back beyond where we used to be. I was talking to a friend of mine who has been struggling with an addiction most of his adult life, and he said, I'm just tired of lying. I'm tired of breaking promises. I think this is it for me. This is all I'm going to ever be. I've lived this way too long. How could I possibly get to something greater? How can I be better? There is a way to be good again. Now, some of us don't have such a dramatic story as that friend has. We simply don't have the same faith walk we used to have. We used to be passionate about Christ, and going to church was thrilling because we felt the Spirit, and we prayed every day, and we just felt God's presence in our lives. And things stayed that way for a while, but over time, that initial excitement wore off, and nothing dramatic happened, and slowly, going to church just turned into another thing to do, and our spiritual lives grew stale. And we feel kind of lost in that. We can survive, but it's not really living. There is a way to be good again. How? The first steps is to remember. to go back, to remember when you were initially saved. Remember the details of your salvation best you can. You know, there's a song by gospel singer Andre Crouch. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Sometimes we need to go back to that conversion process, to those days when we were really excited. When you go back, then you remember what turned you to Jesus in the first place. You remember what you were going through. You remember that broken heart. You remember that feeling of being lost, and how that day that the minister spoke and something clicked in your soul, you changed, at least initially. Well, God's grace will offer you another opportunity. Now, that salvation is forever, but sometimes you just need to get on your knees and confess, Lord, I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not what I want to be. And so this very moment, as Reverend Liz is speaking, I'm going to turn back to you, God. I'm going to start with my memory, but then I'm going to actually turn back with my heart, God, with my insides, God, and realize that this notion of repentance is a continual process. Of course, salvation has already happened, but I need to repent. I need to keep changing. There's no one step to this, and it's not necessarily linear. We're human. We stumble. We fall. We don't lose our salvation, but we can lose our footing. I want more, God. I want more from you. I want to be more for you, God. And so I want to turn back to you, God, because I hear those words that I can be good again. Now, giving God our best and this turning back that we need to do does not mean we're going for perfection. It means persistence. It means every time we stumble, every time we make a mistake, every time we fall back to our old ways, we turn back to God. Asking God to help us, asking Jesus Christ to guide us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is what turns us toward the future. God wants you back. And so if you feel that you've made that mistake that has kept you far from God, remember, God wants you back. Just turn back. Just get on your knees right now and say, God, I'm sorry. I didn't do it right. I want to be honest with you, God, but I can't do anything without you. And God's grace will cover you. Thanks for joining me. Be blessed.
Thank you for tuning in. Roxbury Presbyterian Church is located at 328 Warren Street, right in the heart of Roxbury. Come worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. This is a listener-supported program. We invite you to partner with us and learn the many ways that love rules. Visit us on our website, roxburypresbyterianchurch.org, or call us at 617-445-2116. Love will reign.